Okay, we're going to take your phone calls and continue chatting with John Hoag about next, the presidents and the Antichrist. Welcome back, John Hoag, with us. John, you've updated your Nostradamus Antichrist book. Let's talk a little bit about the update. What'd you do?
Well, you know, it's been 8 years since I published it in 2008, and it felt like with what's going on in the Middle East, and ISIS, that I had to expand the list of the, basically this book is a 25-year journey I took from the 80s into the present time. I guess I could even say it's now a 30-year journey, where I played detective and looked at things that show the Nostradamus prophecies, which are unique in that he saw three antichrists. The only person in prophetic history to do that. And his rather unorthodox take basically identified Napoleon as the first Antichrist, Hitler as the second. We called Hister after the ancient name of the Danube River where Hitler grew up in Linz, Austria. And the third Antichrist is called Mabus, M-A-B-U-S. And in his name, it decoded, is in the first edition, were four people. Osama bin Laden, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and Saddam Hussein.
That's right.
All of them have, through the laws of Renaissance Nostradamian anagram, have the ability to see their names decoded as Mabus. Since that time, two new candidates have surfaced. One that I wrote about back in 2008, but thought he turned into a cold case. And that was Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who was the Jordanian student of terrorist U, went over to Afghanistan to study with Osama bin Laden and came back to the Middle East and became the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq. And al-Qaeda in Iraq was so vicious during the 2005-2006 early stages of the sectarian civil war that it's believed that the leaders of al-Qaeda actually tipped off the United States forces to where Zarqawi was hiding so that they could drop two 500-pound bombs on his bedroom and his safe house. They killed him, and al-Qaeda in Iraq was pretty much turned into a sleeper cell for many years, both in Iraq and in Syria. And in the book, what I did is added another 30,000 words to already it was 70,000.
Jeez. And a couple chapters, too.
A couple chapters that looked at the cold case of Abu Musab becoming hot again, very hot. In fact, it is his al-Qaeda in Iraq that fathered what is currently known as the Islamic State. And one of the people that was working with him, a shy and retreating cleric who used to lead the prayers for their inner circle meetings, happens to be the current caliph of Islamic State, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Now, there are a number of names, for instance, Abu Musab, the term Abu, Arabic for father, A-B-U, is a classic example of anagram where you drop the beginning and last letter to see the word that's hidden. M, you drop in the start, and S at the end, and you've got the middle, which is Abu. It spells Mabus.
Ha. Huh.
So that kind of brings attention to a number of possible candidates who are involved in Arab insurgencies from the more Marxist-Leninist times of the 80s with Abu Nidal and Abu Abbas, to the more jihad-driven Arab insurgencies of our times. So Musab, M-U-S-A-B, are the letters of Mabus rearranged.
And by the way, we have a Secretary of the Navy whose last name is Mabus.
Well, in that book, when I started looking at my book from 2008, I had a unique situation. I had to explain in the opening foreword about it that so much of that book reads like it was written yesterday, not 8 years ago, And I wrote back in that book that, and this was several months before Barack Obama was even president of the United States, I said that one of his minor functionaries, the governor overseeing his election campaign in Mississippi, the former governor and former ambassador to Saudi Arabia, Raymond Mabus, will probably be a member of his cabinet when he's president. I predicted he would be. And that will cause, across Nostradamia, all the people, about 20 million people around the world that love Nostradamus stories, will cause their tongues to wag that here's a man who literally is named M-A-B-U-S, Mabus, or Mabus, and being that he was the Saudi, U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia, he has a stake in the Middle East, so that's another important clue. And now that he is the Secretary of the Navy in Obama's administration, he is frequently a visitor of the bases we have in the Persian Gulf, like the U.S. Fifth Fleet, and he is a Secretary of Navy there often. And it was always feeling there's certain people who believe that Mabus is not the Antichrist, but he is a person killed by the third Antichrist. And it's the triggering of that assassination that causes a great war. Unlike the other two, Napoleon and Hitler, there's very clear steps that the third Antichrist has to pass through. And one of the most important is, if he's already dead, that makes him a more important candidate than if he's still alive. Because it is at the beginning of his mayhem that he dies and is annihilated swiftly. And that then causes a terrible unraveling of the world of animals and people. And 100 vengeances from 100 nations at once retaliate. And it's a time when there's famine and drought, which is sort of our warming world being explained. And you will know at his death who he is when a comet passes. Now, a lot of people have come over the years and said, hey, who's had the Mabus comet shining over him when he died or made a significant move? And usually I have to clean through the biases that people have about the assumptions they make as 21st century people that Nostradamus is talking about a comet you can't see with your naked eye, but with a telescope. Nostradamus never reported on comets in what we know from his very accurate predictions of the French civil wars, religious civil wars, where he predicted the comet of 1577, which he died in 1566. That was a big, bright, brilliant comet. That in his day, they didn't think about comets that were seen in telescopes. There were no telescopes. So it has to be, from his point of view, from his understanding of the world, it has to be a very big comet that you can see with the naked eye. Or it's a metaphor for a missile falling, which is sometimes applied in his prophecies. It could also be a portent, for instance, when the Columbia fell out of the sky like a great streaming comet a few weeks before the launch of the disastrous invasion of Iraq and the quagmire that I have had foreseen. That is also a portent of a comet falling, and George W. Bush also has his name decode into Mabus. You know, you can be alive, and God forbid any of our about-to-retire president and the retired President Bush are going to be threatened. I hope not. But as long as they are alive, the concept of Mabus soon dying is applied to them. But I think that's a long shot. I think that the man who really resembles these steps more than anyone else, the two, actually, that are even, and in the book I do a score by score who is ahead of the other, the two that at the point now do it the best are Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. They both have the same score of achieving some of the even harder things. For instance, 27 years his war will last, his bloody war will last, is what happens with the third Antichrist.
Well, I always thought the Antichrist, though, had to be around and alive. For all of them.
Well, Nostradamus, the thing about getting Nostradamus accurate is that we've got to find out what Nostradamus thought, even if we don't agree with it, even if it doesn't fit with what we want to see in Nostradamus. And there's certainly so much of that danger in looking at Nostradamus. You can, because of some of the obscurity of his prophecies, you can it's like looking at clouds. You can see a giraffe and write a book about giraffes in Nostradamus, or you can write a book about puppy dogs, because you see the same cloudy verse and you see yourself. You see what you want to see. And I've worked very hard over 30 years to catch my own projections and try to see it as, and study intensely and deeply what the mindset and what the cultural background was for this man, and how he would look at our times and all times ahead of his from the point of view, biases, and understandings of a man in the mid-16th century. In my book, Nostradamus, A Life and Myth, which is the first full-bodied biography of his life, which is also available as a print book and e-book at Element at Amazon, I really go deep into the way I want readers to see the world as he saw it in the 16th century. And we have so many ideas that blind us to seeing and reading his classical metaphors, and which are very key to it. So the thing is, the 27-year war, both when bin Laden declared his jihad to the day he died, it was 27 years.
How about that?
When Saddam Hussein became president of Iraq to the day he was hung, 27 years. And it was perpetual warfare for both of them. In the case of Saddam, he was either fighting the Kurds in a civil war all through his reign.
Or the Iranians.
Yeah. Now, Saddam Hussein died on just before New Year's, at the very moment that a comet became visible in the sky, which 2 weeks later became the brightest comet in 60 years. Comet McNaught. So because of that, because of his hanging on the night when the comet appeared, that doesn't rule out that other comets or other portents that are like comets are coming in the future for al-Baghdadi, who is now the head of ISIS. Now, I've predicted in the book that al-Baghdadi is probably going to die this year. They'll probably find him and kill him this year. And then we look at the terrible destruction of people and animals, and what is clearer and clearer as the prophecy comes closer to its time is that this situation that's going on in Syria and Iraq that has spread across the two borders as Islamic State is pulling like a spider web of intrigues all these Western and Arab and Persian powers into its web. And there is so much Byzantine subterfuge going on. For instance, you have Turkey going to war with ISIS so they can attack the Kurds they don't like in Syria, who are actually fighting ISIS better than anybody. You have the Russians come in and actually do far more damage to ISIS by bombing their huge trains of oil trucks, the same trucks that the American NATO coalition flew over for a year and left alone, which are clearly going into Turkey, aided by Erdogan and his government into billions of dollars of black market oil crude, which is literally what is financing their state. It is a pirate state. It's not an official state, but it's definitely what I call a pirate state, the Islamic State. It has its own money. It uses U.S. cash. It has its own taxing. It has its own ministries. It is a state. And it is also probably the answer to this key anagram or odd code name that Nostradamus uses called Barbare, that is probably the French for Darab, of or from Arabs. It's a henchman. This war that no one expected, this Third World War that could happen as soon as 2017, towards the end of the next president's administration, first year. This Barbare, who is a henchman, an ally, of use of either the Russians or the Americans, rebels against their handlers, and it pulls Russia and America suddenly into a thermonuclear war that no one saw coming. Now, this is, I've been on your show more than once since 2014 talking about the countdown that seems to at last have been engaged by this new Cold War that President Obama and the neocons and neoliberalists have created in Washington to perpetuate the military-industrial complex, just going back to the old business model of, well, we could do that for 45 years and make lots of money containing the Soviet Union. Now let's try to contain Russia and China. Just like in the Cold War business model. They're trying to perpetuate that again, only prophecy dictates that this is not going to work this time. It's going to be a far shorter situation, and it's going to lead to what they don't want, is something going out of control. That's as much true with the volatility that's happening around China with the South China Sea. There could be an incident also with the Chinese about that, and it's happening with the Babari, the henchman, who is most likely the leader of ISIS. The you know, ISIS, al-Nusra, all of these people have been from time to time. In fact, we are literally now saying that Russia shouldn't bomb al-Nusra because some of the other people that are hand-in-hand with them, who are also really terrorists, are allies and not seen as terrorists by the NATO people. So it's a muddle and a mess. And I will predict now the Russians are coming back with about 3,000-4,000 special forces, and they're going to be on the ground soon dealing with what is happening in Aleppo.
Will the new president be tested by one of these nations?
Well, the problem is everybody in America thinks the new president is going to be tested, but what's really happening is the new president is pushing other people around. And I see that more as a danger with Hillary Clinton than I do with Donald Trump, actually. Although, like I said before, his blindness about planetary climate change and missing this golden opportunity to be the Roosevelt of his time, literally, I mean, if he wants to make America great again, and I talk about this in the book Trump for President, I said that the problem with his science is they have not dealt with Trump on climate change in a language he understands. I often go back to The Art of the Deal and quote the book, because I actually have read Donald Trump's books. I actually know how he's evolved over the last 20, 30 years, his views of what he wants to do. I'm shocked to see how few people in the professional news agencies clearly show any indication that they've actually read The Art of the Deal or understand. And he puts out a lot of who he is in that book. And what he is he does not want to see his buildings destroyed in 30 minutes from a nuclear exchange between him and Vladimir Putin. The problem with Hillary Clinton, with that problem of her being kind of influenced by very powerful Leontine kind of advisors.
Hold on for a second, John. We'll come back for more. Then we'll take the calls. All of you on hold. We'll get right to you. Well, the Magical Mystery Tour takes us to St. Louis in another week, Lindenwood University, for a live stage show June 18th. Those tickets are selling like hotcakes, but they're available for you when you go to coasttocoastam.com and click that information under the highlight reel for the event in St. Louis. And then in August, the small theater event at Asheville, North Carolina, that's going to be quaint. And a few tickets available for that, too. Joshua P. Warren, our paranormal investigator, one of the headliners there. So come on out and see me there. All that information as well at coasttocoastam.com. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Final segment with John Hogue. John, let's take some calls here for you as they line up. Peter in Santa Monica, west of the Rockies. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. How are you? I was just wondering Mr. Hogue feels about the position that Donald Trump has mentioned about, say, the Constitution and keeping that strong with the conservative judges, and also about his position that he would stop abortion. And the reason I bring this subject up is because, like, there's a lot of clairvoyants who have kind of looked into the spiritual realms, and also even physicians these days, who say that the soul has actually come into the womb at the point of conception. So thereby, in my opinion, you know, I would say it's a very heavy burden upon America that we need to, like, stop it. Not that we're going to be, you know, we're not that I have any negative feeling towards the woman, but I'm just saying the law of the United States needs to change, because I think God would not like to have that on, you know, in America anymore, the abortion. That's my major question. Thank you very much.
All right, Peter, there's a lot of things we don't know about life beyond this plane. I can tell you from my travels in India, I'm well aware of my own Western culture's views on conception and the soul's entry. There are also views in the East that I've come across when I lived in India that, you know, you're not, when the body is dying, it is not, it's an illusion, and that the soul is not harmed by that. It's still, and, you know, so they're very different views, and what's objectively true is we don't really objectively yet know what it is, whether we're doing this kind of damage or not. I do predict that there'll come a time with science that science will hone its abilities to read wavelengths and vibrations to a point where we will prove life after death and have some understanding of what it is like to be in between incarnations. We will also find out that people do live in incarnations, not just one life. Although, ironically, we might live a million times, but we seem to always face all of these milestones of life as if it's the first time, because in a way, even if you are reincarnated into another life, whoever you were before, whoever you are now, will never come back again. So, in a way, we live one life, and we live many lives. Now, Donald Trump is going to surprise a lot of people. If he is the president, he is going to become, he's going to have that Scrooge moment where he's probably going to drop being a Republican or Democrat. He's just going to be himself, an independent, in the White House with one-third of the government.
Which is really what he is.
Yeah, he's going to, and so a lot of what he's saying, even the wall, I made a very clear prediction in the Trump for President book is that wall is never going up. That is purely a device. And what will probably happen is he will probably come to some agreement to a solution that allows illegals to come out and join the ledgers, get fined, go back to the back of the line, and it will be probably a deadline that if people are caught who have not come forth, they will be deported. But it's not going to happen. I mean, I predict that just the legal battles are going to keep it out of happening, going all the way to the Supreme Court, probably beyond the first term of Trump's presidency. I don't see either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump being more than a single term president. That feels really clear to me. No two terms for either one. The danger for Donald Trump is that he has something in his relationship to the United States birth chart that you find in the birth chart of Barack Obama and George W. Bush, which did a lot in the astrological terms to make them not the presidents that they thought they were and disappoint us. And this is the Sun squared Neptune is in Bush's and Obama's chart. It is not in this sign of self-delusion par excellence is not in Donald Trump's chart. However, it is in the composite of his relationship. Like if you fell in love with a woman and you wanted to draw a chart that would tell you, be a chart about your relationship, you would create a composite chart where you make the aspects of the two of your birth charts, put them together, look at the progressions, as well of the planets, and then you would get some idea of what the potentials of your relationship is. Now, Donald Trump has his Gemini Sun squared the Neptune in Virgo in the U.S. birth chart. That relates directly to delusional, self-delusion. If this were a couple getting married, it means both the man and the woman, Lady Liberty America and Donald Trump, the husband, the president, both have delusional issues with each other that they need to confront and transcend. It certainly can happen. As a survivor of 12th house double Scorpio sun sign, situation, I can tell you, you can survive some pretty horrific astrological aspects. So, yes, it's possible he could work it out. But if he doesn't work it out, it's very possible that he will not even see the end of his first term, because he will be completely thrown out of office. That's the negative potential of this. But the delusion is equal on both sides. It's not all Trump's fault. It's also the American people who basically are buying into an emotional investment without thinking. America, make America great again, is as vacuous a slogan, though powerful emotionally, as change we can believe in was with Barack Obama. And these are the kind of slogans of Neptune Square, the sun working in this situation.
We go to Ed now in Philadelphia. Hey, Ed, thanks for calling.
Hi, George. Hi, John. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
There are many psychics who believe that there is like a positive angelic realm, which are collectively working together to throw a monkey wrench in the so-called Illuminati election machinery of the United States. And quite possibly for the first time, we actually get an honest election. John, you mentioned that there's a powerful energy that people are picking up on in Donald Trump. Could that energy be from God? And could all this be a prophetic supernatural event that is taking place, in that no other candidate could have had more odds stacked up against them than Trump, or even more negative energy being thrown at them by the media and those protesting, and still come out on top? If you agree, John, would you ask your oracle if it concurs with this, and then tell us your findings next time that you're a guest on Coast to Coast?
Well, you can read my findings in great detail about that exact issue, because that's a subplot to my book on Trump for President, Astrological Predictions. What is it? What is this magic this man has to, no matter what is thrown his way, he manages to ingeniously...
He's Teflon.
...get past it. And I tell you, Hillary Clinton, if she thinks that she can repeat what all the other Republican nominees did to take him down, I mean, you watch what's going to happen Monday when Trump has his rebuttal. Here's the thing. It's not, we could debate about angelic sources and whether he's a vehicle of God and all of that. Of course, all of us are vehicles of God. You could argue that, and it depends on whether we're alert to it or not, tuned into it or not. But Trump is a master, and not actually 100% conscious of it either. He is almost an unconscious medium of being able to capture the rhythm and the pulse of collective emotions. It is the gift of a great demagogue. And I use the word, I don't have a negative or a positive connotation to the term demagogue, because what it means is somebody who can persuade people to see a different way into things with the power of their oratory or their presence in working together. Donald Trump has tapped into the rage and frustration of many, many people about how the government no longer is listening to them. We have a situation in this country that looks very much like Russia before the revolution, the ancient regime of King Louis XVI before the French Revolution. The frustrations of the Tea Party movement the last time this all happened, back in our own revolution with England and its establishment dictating the way it should be, not listening to the people. We're in that cycle again, and I pray and I work in my work to hopefully help in my little way, since I do speak to millions of people on these shows, to somehow have an influence that could be positive by identifying the negative potentials that are out there so that we can avoid them. Because the future is not written in stone. Anyone who has deeply studied Nostradamus' work will see that he has many alternative futures in his book that will never happen, but they clearly pointed to other choices we could make, because we live dynamically alive in this moment, and the future echoes our consequential results also in a dynamic echo. It's not written in stone. Only people in tombs, dead, doing nothing, are written in stone. So So with that said, this book is also attempting to be a reading for Donald Trump. I mean, I want whoever is the president, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or anybody else, I write these things not to take them down or expose them, but to help them be better leaders. And to do that, I sometimes have to show some hard love. And so I hope that whoever the president is, that they will be successful. And I will go on to write whatever I need to do to help that happen, even if it hurts. The thing is that Trump has the formula. Sanders is not going to win because the Democratic system, party machine, the party that actually created the concept of the great political American machine, has made sure that he, an outsider who is not truly a Democrat, but a democratic socialist, will never be able to take over the party. And indeed, I have been putting out the message to all people who are involved in the two-party system that you cannot fix the problems of America by going into the system that's making the problems. It's like entering the mafia so that you can make the mafia go straight. No, you will become part of the mafia. The two-party system is rigged to the elites and a new oligarchic aristocracy. It's a cycle that happened the last time Pluto was in Capricorn, as it is now, 248 years ago. It's returned again. It gave birth to the middle classes of America and England, and now is giving birth to a global middle class that is also rising and demanding more freedom and independence, at the same time when the old middle classes in Europe and America are in a midlife crisis. The person, Hillary Clinton, is not going to win this election if she does not find her heart and speak with the emotional power pulse and tap the pulse of that in her election more than she
Well, she's a pretty passionate speaker, John.
She is. And look out, Mr. Trump. She is one very good debater. Trump should also be very wary of and be prepared for the October debates, because
yes,
he will pull out her stereophonic Scorpio stingers and
Well, he's going to go after the foundation and the apparent criminality that might be involved with that. He's going to pull his gloves off on this one.
Well, you know, when she did her speech, I was thinking, you know, I cerebrally get this brilliant speech, but I was thinking, what a mistake this is to go there. She needs to talk about why she's better than him, not why he's so bad. Because the problem is, both of these people have very low polling ratings of popularity. And I will also say that though Trump has much lower popularity ratings, it is narrowing, as I predicted it would. I think this election is going to be very, very close, because Trump's ability to make this a neck-and-neck race is just one terrorist event in America, or one stock market crash in the autumn away. And then I tell you, a lot of the people who cannot stomach some of the things he's saying about women and Mexicans and religions, judges who have Hispanic background, all that is superfluous when you've lost your job, when you don't know where this economy is going.
That's right. Or you've lost your
house.
And
the slogan and the emotional connection will carry a lot of people now who can't stand Trump into voting for him if these shocks happen.
Let's go to Peter in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing, George?
Good, Peter.
I spoke with you when Mr. Lerner was on last time about astrology.
Yes, you sure did.
You were asking what's going on in the heavens. One of the things that's happening is Uranus is in Aries. And what that's doing is, the reason why Trump and Bernie have been brought into this is that Bernie has a Moon-Uranus conjunction in Aries, and Uranus has been involved with that, and it's also applying to Trump's Sun-Uranus conjunction. So that's why this is sort of a revolutionary type election and period, and these two guys as strange as it would be, are the sort of revolutionary figures.
Yes.
Because of that Uranus.
Go ahead, Pete.
So yes, and also there's a very interesting thing going on around the time of the election that Uranus is going to be 21 degrees Aries, exactly where it was when Hitler basically came to power by convincing the Reichstag, enough of the voters to give him the enabling powers that allowed him, after a false flag terrorist event with the Reichstag being burnt, the Nazis actually created.
Do these alignments, John, play havoc with their brains, or what does it do?
Well, you know, I don't know why it works. I'll be honest with all of you. I don't understand why it works. Certainly, the objective scientists would constantly go back and say, look, you know, the poles of the gravitationally of the stars don't have that influence on us. But that doesn't mean there isn't something else that is more subtle going on. I mean, a great example of that is Comet Elenin when it came in. It lined up with the Earth and the Sun, and in around the time, give or take a few days, which is within the realm of orb of influence, when it was coming in, the three times that it was lining up with the Earth and the Sun, three major natural disasters happened. It was going to do two more on the way out, going back into deep space, but it broke up around the Sun. And guess what? When it broke up and no longer was there, those dates came and went with nothing happening. So there's some. Now, I agree with the astronomers who will say, look, it's too small a body to have such an impact. But again, that is arguing from a given that this is about gravity, something that we actually still don't know what gravity really is.
John, the time has got us. Thank you again, my friend. We'll be in touch. As you know, the clock is getting closer to November 8th. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual telepathy on Coast to Coast AM.